Good morning. School may be closed in South Central Alaska, but we're all here bright and early. I'm Harriet Drummond. I'm chair of House Education. House Education Committee will come to order. This is Monday, February 12, 2018, and it is 8:01 a.m. Members of House Education present are Representative Jennifer Johnson, Representative Chuck Kopp, Representative Dave Tallarico, Representative Justin Parrish, and myself, Harriet Drummond. We have a quorum to conduct business. Before we begin, I'd like everyone to please silence your cell phones. Today, our recording secretary is Sandy Edwardson, and Madison Truitt is our LIO moderator assisting with tech and teleconferencing support. Thank you both. Today, we have a single item on the agenda, an informational hearing, the need to increase the base student allocation, and consequences if funding is not adjusted. On Friday, we will be hearing a related bill, House Bill 339, an act relating to the base student allocation and providing an effective date. I know all of you have a deal on a daily basis with budgets and delivering a top quality education to our students, and the difficulty with the condition of the budget and the revenues from the state is a principal topic on everybody's agenda. With that, I'd like to invite Representative Les Guerra to the podium to come forward and offer his presentation.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee, members of the audience. I'm going to try and race through this so folks in the room have a chance to testify today, and hopefully I'll take harder questions as the hearings go on. But I do want to let the members of the committee know that flat funding doesn't mean even funding. It doesn't mean not the loss of teachers. And so if I could just run through a few slides, most from the Division of Legislative Finance. Obviously, costs are up in school districts. Healthcare costs are up. Rent costs are up. And again, energy costs are up. This is funding since 2015. It's down in actual dollars without accounting for inflation. It's down by roughly $25 million. About $18 million of that is due to state funding decreases. The other parts are due to changes in local contributions, student counts, and things like that. And we can get into more of that later in the week. Why school funding declined? I think a lot of people think that school funding has been flat. In 2015, there was $43 million that was put into the budget to be distributed to schools through the foundation formula. That money disappeared, so we lost $43 million in 2016. That was replaced by two small base student allocation increases of about $50 a year in 2016 and 2017. So the reason funding has gone down is you had the $43 million loss in 2016, and you had about $25 million of base student allocation increases combined over 2 years. So 43 minus 25, there's your roughly $18 million loss. In addition, more losses due to local contribution formula changes and some class counts. What happens when you consider inflation, the reality that healthcare costs have gone up, medical costs have gone up, energy costs have gone up, rent costs have gone up? Then the loss is about $90 million since 2015. And it's important to look at what the impacts are. It's education is not about money. It's about education. It's about instruction. Let's just take a look at two quick districts, Anchorage and the MetSU. Since 2013 in Anchorage, we've lost about 250 full-time equivalent positions. 216 of those were teachers. The remaining were mostly teacher assistants. Class sizes have increased. None of that is a surprise. That's the effect of what we call flat funding. Same time in Anchorage, special education is up. As we know, teaching a child who has special education needs is exceptionally expensive. Intensive needs enrollment is up. I recently met a middle school science teacher. She said last year she had 28 kids in her class. This year she has 32. She said that's the tipping point. That's the point where I can't reach out the way I believe is necessary as a teacher to teach to individual students who are struggling. I can teach to a whole classroom, but I can't teach to individual students at this point. And it was a heart-wrenching thing for her to say, and it's a heart-wrenching thing for her to feel. She's crossed the tipping point, and I think many teachers in this state have. In Mat-Su, they, for this fiscal year, have a loss of about 87 positions. They expect a deficit next year with flat funding of another $8 million. They've cut about 250 full-time equivalent teachers, aides, assistants since 2013. These are real cuts. These are real changes in education achievement, probably, if you think the teachers are necessary for education achievement. So we're here just to hear from school districts, to hear what their challenges are, what have been the impacts of funding in recent years, how it's possibly going to affect student outcomes. That's their job, not my job. They're the experts in this. You'll hear later in the week a bill to try and reverse these cuts by a number of us in this room, and hopefully folks will keep their minds open to a solution. And with that, really, I just want to thank the students, the parents, the teachers, the educators who have decided to come down to Juneau, and I thank this committee for giving me a couple of minutes, and we can talk more about these details later on in the week.
Thank you, Representative Guerra. I'm going to let Representative Johnson ask a question, and then we'll move to testimony.
Yes, thank you. Thank you to the chair. I can't remember if you were there when the Anchorage School District gave their legislative, and in your bill that you and Representative Drummond are introducing, are you doing anything to change how the BSA is calculated? Because one of the things that we heard loud and clear that facilities was how the facilities are calculated has had a huge impact on the Anchorage School District, and that was one of their legislative priorities. And I didn't know if you were going to be addressing that.
Thank you, Representative Johnston. The issues of, like, the individual components of the base student allocation and how the money is divided between districts, I think you'll find that what benefits one district hurts another district. The point that I've heard the Anchorage School District made, I was out of state at the time they gave their presentation. I can't tell you whether or not I know whether changing that would have an equitable impact on all districts, so I don't know.
Follow-up through the chair.
Go ahead.
It would be interesting if school districts, as they come forward, if you could speak to that point. The other issue that the Anchorage School District brought up was people transportation and the funding of that. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. For the record, I'd like to note that Representative Sponholz joined us at 8:03. Representative Johnson was referring to the school size factor, and I did have a brief discussion with Anchorage School Board members last night, and I believe they can tell us what's going to be happening in that area when they get to us. Thank you, Representative Guerra. I really appreciate your presentation, and let's move on to testimony. First up in the room, Callie Spencer, Anchorage School District student, and Dieleve Biringane. I hope I got that right, Dieleve. Another student from the Anchorage School District. Good morning. Please put your names on the record and your affiliation. Your school would be wonderful. And proceed with your testimony. In terms of time, Two minutes each. Let's try for 2 minutes each.
Okay. I'll start. Hello, my name is Kaylee Spencer, and I'm a student with the Anchorage School District. I attend Eagle River High School. And today I'd like to specifically address raising the BSA to retain quality educators in my district. I'd like to start my testimony today by telling you a quick fact about myself, and that is that education is my life. And I realize that this may sound a bit dramatic, but after I tell my story, I think you'll see why. I moved to Alaska when I was in the second grade, and shortly after my family got here, my mom decided that she would like to pursue her dream of becoming a teacher. The only challenge that she was facing with this is the fact that she was a single mom trying to raise three kids. But still she did it, and she was finally hired at Eagle River High School, the school I now attend. And everything was going great, everything was amazing, until she was notified that she was going to be pink-slipped and she was going to be fired, her first year of teaching. This was very discouraging for her. She didn't know what to do, and we considered moving several times. And the point I'd like to make is the fact that if we are discouraging teachers early on, they're not going to want to stay within the state My mom this year, her name is Valerie Ballard. She was awarded the Milken Educator Award, a national education award, with a prize of $25,000. She's one of only 10 teachers in the state of Alaska to receive this award since 1987. If we are not retaining quality educators, we're going to lose powerful teachers like my mom. We are going to lose powerful people in our district. And I think that raising the BSA will directly correlate to a stronger staffing within our district, which will encourage people to come to Alaska, to come to our districts, to come for the quality education that we are providing. And thank you.
Thank you, Callie. That was excellent.
Hi, my name is Dele Vebiringanine, and I am a senior at Service High School and also the student body president. And I'm here to talk to you about the BSA and the impact that would be if we raise it. First of all, I am a refugee and an immigrant, and English is my second language. And that correlates because I was put into school with no English, no background of English, and I was in third grade, and I had support from an ESL teacher, and the class sizes were smaller, and this was back in 2008. And fast forward to today, our class sizes are about 32 to 45 max. Last year in my Spanish class, I had about 40 students, and my teacher was teaching three different levels simultaneously in one class period, and that made it hard for me to learn, and she just had to give us paperwork and busy work, and that's the way we learned. So in a regular freshman class at Service High School, there's about 32 kids in a freshman English class. And English is a core class, and that's depleting the education level that kids are getting because they're not getting one-on-one time with their teachers. They're not getting enough support and help from their teachers. Class sizes are getting bigger and bigger by the year. And as a senior, it is, and also just their representative for the school body, it is hurtful to see kids are not getting the amount of support that they need. Our science classes are growing bigger because class sizes are increasing. Our teachers are taking their lunchtime to help students because it is the only time they can really have an effective way to help students. Teachers are supposed to get a free lunch period without, they're supposed to close their doors at lunch, but teachers can't. They love students. It's the only time they can come and help students. Raising the BSA, it's like the elephant in the room, but it's an investment. I believe that it's an investment for the future. As a senior, yes, I will not be at school next year, but by the time I graduate college, if we invest in the future, these students, people who are freshmen, who will be seniors by that time, they will get an investment, and this will be amazing and life-changing. And the impact is so great because in my student government class, we have 50 kids, and that's the extracurricular class. And extracurriculars are so important, and student government, I'm a product of student government, and if that was cut, student government would be cut because it's an extracurricular class. It's not as important as math, science, and social studies. And people would not be getting the same opportunities like I'm getting to come here and speak to you through that. Sports will go because we have to find money from somewhere. Our district has done everything they can to not cut teachers. 88% of our money goes towards teachers, so they are not cut. And we're tapping into the transportation fund to make sure that our teachers are not cut. And that's hurting us. And we can't keep cutting and cutting and cutting. At some point, we're just going to keep losing teachers, and class sizes are going to get bigger. So I really hope I've opened your eyes and given you like a picture of what's happening in our schools and in our district. So thank you.
Thank you very much, Dileve. Appreciate your perspective. Next, I have Daniel June and Ben Post. Please come forward. And after those two young men, it will be Star Marcette and Tam Agosti-Giesler, so we can keep things moving. Put your names on the record and tell us which school you're affiliated with and proceed.
Thank you, members of the committee. Hi, my name is Daniel John. I'm from House District 26. I'm 16 years old, and I'm a junior at South Anchorage High School. I'm in significant support of House Bill 339 because by raising the base student allocation by $100, we can offer more opportunities for students in order to help them find what they are passionate about and give them the vital resources to strive for their future. My sophomore year was a very, very demoralizing year. As I was facing challenging issues, one of my classes, Algebra 2, where I did not retain any information due to overcrowding, which made it disruptive and harder to get a one-on-one conversation with the teacher that I needed. From when I realized this was happening, it was too late to do something, and then my life started going downhill. I used to go from having perfect attendance, then I went to skipping class often. And I regret it now, but because I have an F on my transcript due to this mistake I've made and due to overcrowding. But that made the underlying issue I was facing worse, my mental health. This is like a really hard topic for me to touch on, but if I want change for other students so they don't have to go through issues I was facing, by having me step out of my comfort zone, I have to do that. Everyone has different breaking points where I was so close to reaching mine and had so many different things going through my head, like considering dropping out of high school and even harming myself. I finally decided to seek help, not for me, but for my family's sake. I tried going to the counselor, and by not having that emotional connection due to counselors getting cut in our school district, our school district ratio is 1 to 30 for counselor students, and the ASCA Alaska, or sorry, this pro, I don't know where it went. ASCA is the counselor association in the American state level says the ratio should be 1 to 25. And by not having that strong bond yet, it took a while to make that connection, and as soon as I did, my mental health was the worst it's ever been. As talking to my counselors helped, they were always busy due to the other students they needed to help too, because I'm not the only person they're helping out. They're helping out 290 more. So I always felt rushed, like I had a timer going through my head, like I had time through the back of my head. As my mental health, it started slowly getting better since I started talking to one of my friends about it. And as soon as I noticed it changed and helped me dramatically, I decided to go talk to an adult I trust within my school and an educator too, and they've impacted my life so much. As our deficit in our budget keeps increasing, the school board reductions have been made throughout the district to avoid teacher layouts such as support services students, where 5.5 counselors are losing their jobs this year. So I'm here to support this House bill, because without the $100 increase to ESA, my school district will lose these amazing educators and counselors. I paid my own way up here to this trip to see if I can make any sort of difference on my behalf and for my fellow peers, and learn from this opportunity, because this is my passion, and my educators helped save my life. And without them, I truly don't know if I would be here today, but I am. So I will try my hardest to strive and follow my passion. And thank you so much for listening, and I hope what I have to say can truly make a difference.
Thank you, Daniel. Go ahead, Ben. Put your name on the record.
My name is Ben Post, and I'm a sophomore at Stellar Secondary School in Anchorage. I support this bill because growing class sizes are a big issue in the Anchorage School District. My brother was at Roman Middle School with over 30 kids in his 7th grade science class, and it was hard for him to ask any questions because he is a quiet person. He did not get a good grade, and he did not learn very much about biology. My friend at West High is also taking class with more than 30 students. It's an English class, and it makes it hard on the teacher to try and edit each and every one of the papers when there are so many students per teacher. There is a cost to education, but the rewards and opportunities are endless. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Ben. Star Marcet and Tam Agosti-Giesler.
Good morning. Thank you. My name is Star Marcet, and I'm on the Anchorage School District Board Vice President, and I'm here to testify on this bill this morning, increasing the BSA. And I'm here to testify for our students, teachers, staff, and parents and community members that can't be here this morning. And you've heard from some of our brightest students this morning and how the funding has impacted their lives. Think of the students that aren't here and are struggling in our school district and are not getting the supports they need because we are cutting those supports. Our teachers, I meet with them regularly after school and hear their how morale is impacted every day by us asking them to do more and more with less and less, and how their class sizes are increasing, and how trauma is affecting their classes because it comes into the classroom more and more each day, which affects the behavior of our students, and how we're having to deal with that with cutting counselors and not having the support that the teachers need to be able to manage their classrooms and help those students. So those are all important things. The other things that we've done is we've cut our custodial staff. We now have custodial staff in the middle of the day. We have a skip day where there's no custodials. We have middle school, we have 8 periods now. So teachers lose their planning time so that we can help those students that need extra help. We have, what you can see is, I mean, we're just doing everything. The cuts that we've been doing, and I think I've given you some handouts there that show what the impacts of our funding cuts since 2013, and also an outlook of what it would look like in for the next 6 years. And, you know, we're looking at if we are to continue like this, that so in 2020, we will have eliminated FTEs of 591. In 2019, this next school year, be 484. We can't continue. I mean, I think this year is our breaking point, to tell you the truth. We are taking our teacher experts, the supports that our teachers need in the schools from the district, and they are now going into the classrooms so that we have teachers in those classrooms. So we're moving personnel so that we don't have to hopefully impact all of our classes. But now teachers, when they need that support, there's not going to be anyone there. They're going to be directed to online support, which will not be the same as having somebody there that they can answer the question directly. If they put in a IT ticket, let's say they have difficulties with online, with their PCs, with their equipment, it's going to take twice as long to get those things looked at because there's not going to be the people there to respond. So that means it's going to cut into their instructional time. It's going to keep them from doing what they need to do. So those are just a few of the things that's going to be impacting our students, our teachers. I know that if we didn't come here today and ask for these funds, our teachers, our students, our community members would definitely be up in arms because they know that this is what we need to do for our students. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Marcet.
Hi, Tam Agosti Giesler, Anchorage School Board. And you've heard about some of the impacts. I want to add to that message. I get a little frustrated when I hear people say, cut the fat. When are you guys going to cut administration? So I want to let you know in the 5 budgets that I've worked on with the Anchorage School District over the last, from FY13 to FY19, this current projected budget, we have cut administration 28.5%. And if you were to discount the 7 board members that statutorily or by ordinance we can't cut, the district leadership capacity has actually taken a 36% hit. So I challenge anyone to find the fat. As you heard, even more of the administration from our education center is being sent back to the classroom. That was our strategy because we were trying to least impact our teaching instruction in, you know, physically in the classroom. That came back to bite us this year when we instituted some new curriculum to improve our literacy, particularly focused on K through second literacy, so that by third grade kids are proficient in reading, so that they now know how to read, so they can read to learn. But that bit us because we didn't have the staff in the administration building doing the proper training for teachers, and so it had a very poor rollout, and we heard from hundreds of teachers about how poorly it was done, and we've had to regear and try to work with the staff we have. So these are some of the impacts of those changes where we aren't always aware of it. we're at the point now, and I don't want to be hysterical, but we're having, there are points being brought up that in the past would have immediately brought the pitchforks to our meeting. And that we're talking about consolidating schools. The reference earlier is that we would really like to have a hold harmless in the funding formula for school size if we do have to consolidate schools, that where we aren't going to be penalized and actually lose money in our funding because we decide to be efficient and close one school that's not to capacity. So that is the help that we are asking from the legislature. But we're also talking about things, I hate to start this discussion, but there is talk about should we shorten our school year. That has been done where we, you know, savings are achieved in that way, which, as I said, is almost a treasonous thought to even to think that. But we're at the point where we don't have a lot of options left. You know, in past days, when I used to joke that as the operating budget was trimmed, that we would get kids to school and we'd feed them, but there would be no teachers there. That's even in jeopardy now because we're stealing from our operating budget to help pay for transportation because that has also been flat funded. So we may get some of the kids there and they're going to eat for free, but I don't know what type of education they're going to have in the long run. So we hope you will consider the very dramatic needs that not only our district but across the state. Thank you.
Thank you, Tam. Your service on the Anchorage School Board will be greatly missed.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Next, I have Maine Paul and Dan Nanaluk, Jr. Are you in the room?
I guess not.
I don't see anyone coming forward. Jean-Luc Lewis and Stella Talman from Southeast School District. And after them, I have Paul Marks and Katie McKenna. Good morning.
Good morning. Hello, I'm Jean-Luc Lewis, and I'm a junior at Wrangell High School here in Southeast Alaska. Education is the highest priority, and it cannot afford any more cuts. I'm aware that Alaska is in a financial crisis, but I'm asking the legislature to find a solution to increase revenue. This could include a state income tax, a sales tax, and possibly a cut to the permanent fund dividend. The cost to run a school is increasing every year, so flat funding the budget is equivalent to a cut. At the very minimum, the base student allocation needs to increase enough to compensate for inflation and the increasing living expenses. In Southeast Alaska, the cost of health insurance coverage is greatly increasing every year, and districts are struggling to provide these benefits for their employees. The cut to Alaska's marine highway system has greatly raised the cost of student travel outside the district. Not only are less students getting the opportunity to travel, but students are having to miss more school, and districts are burdened with having to buy airline tickets. In addition, getting our students to school is anticipated to decline because the bus company in our town has closed. Since I've been in high school, retired teachers have not been replaced, and therefore the schedule has become restricted. I and at least 40 other students have been unable to take the classes we would like to take. My school only offers 2 years of Spanish. There are many students, myself included, who would like to take a third year, but our district does not have the budget to create an extra class. Competitive colleges require 3 years of a foreign language, so next year I will have to take an online class, which is never a good way to learn a language. Budget cuts create fewer options for student learning because with fewer teachers, the variety of classes is reduced. This hurts both the high-achieving students and the students who are struggling to pass their classes. Any cuts or lack of increase reduces the students' quality, the quality of the students' education. If funding does not increase, the quality of Alaska's public school education will decline. Investment in education is the highest priority, because as the quality of education declines, the number of opportunities for students diminishes. Education will continue to decline if funding does not increase. Thank you for your time.
One moment. I have a question for you from Representative Johnston.
Thank you, and through the chair. Have you taken any online courses yet?
Through the chair. Yes, I have. I'm taking one right now.
And what is that?
It's world history.
And have you found it engaging, or have you found it challenging, or have you found it, I mean, give me a perspective.
It's a very not engaging class. I sit and watch videos for 30 minutes and then answer questions about the videos I watched. And so there's not any engagement with teachers, and I often get very bored doing these assignments just because it's just a guy talking.
And do you know where your school district is getting that online class?
I think it's Alaska Digital Academy is like the course. That's where it's through.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Thank you. Representative Johnson. Thank you, Jean-Luc. Okay, go ahead. Put your name on the record.
Okay. Good morning, representatives, and thank you for this opportunity to speak. My name is Stella Talman, and I'm a constituent of House District 33. I'm also a 15-year-old sophomore here at Juno Douglas High School, and I fully support House Bill 339. I'd like to first say that I know our state is faced with some very tough decisions, and I understand that we have a tight budget. However, not increasing the BSA would have extreme consequences for students all across Alaska. We're mandated by our state constitution to provide a public education for all K-12 kids, and it is our civil responsibility to ensure that that education is of the highest quality possible. We're currently facing large cuts in several programs that benefit kids from lower-income families, making this an issue of equity and opportunity. In addition, class sizes would increase, and essential resources and programs and services that would disintegrate, prompting people to leave the state. We need to create a stable fiscal plan that allows for each and every student to be the best they can be without being bogged down by financial issues. Education is a progressive field that will never be stagnant, and we must cater to that by providing adequate schools that will allow us to compete in a global economy. Healthy and prosperous societies invest in their youth because we are the future. One day, we are going to be sitting right there in your places, and I hope that we will be as educated and prepared as possible to become the next leaders to move our state forward into the future. Thank you.
Thank you, Stella. Representative Parrish has a question for you.
Thank you. Is Steve Tallman your dad?
Through the chair, yes, he is. He knows you.
He must be very proud. Thank you for your testimony.
Thank you. Next, is Paul Marks in the room? Seeing Mr. Marks is not, there's Mr. Marks. And Katie McKenna, next on the list. And after them, Sienna Hanna and Andy Story.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Fine, Mary.
Good to see you.
Hello. It says good morning.
Go ahead and put your name on the record and your affiliation and proceed.
My name is Paul Marks. I'm born and raised in Juneau, Alaska. And I come from a family who are educators. And also my children are also educators, and their mother is an educator. My son Paul works at for TCLL as a paraeducator with Mendenhall River Community School. My daughter works for the Montessori in Mayflower and also at Marie Drake. And their mother works at Gastineau School. And I'm also working with Gold Belt Heritage Foundation as an elder and educator. And I would just say that I support this bill, but also even this would also not be enough, where TCLL will lose some staff because of lack of funds. And you can't put a dollar on education. Education for our Tlingit people is one of the most important things that we as a people stood for, and for years and times past, and being introduced to a new way of life. Our parents always taught us, you need to go to school, you need to learn, you need to study and be successful, because this is a new world that we're in. So you really can't put a financial dollar on this. And our children, all our children are losing, and we lose also because of our children being lost. And I was touched by this young man's testimony of the trouble that he's going through and not having the proper attention that one needs. And we understand that when we're not given the proper attention. And so with our TCLL program, our students are able to hear from our own people, and it also increases their way of, and increases their interest in education. And this is very important for anybody, and so I just want to say that I support this bill, and it would be better if it was there was more, you know. So thank you for your kind attention, and hope things work out right for us.
Thank you, Mr. Marks. I appreciate your testimony. Could you please tell me what TCLL stands for? You can tell us later after you check in. Thank you. Okay.
Mine is just blank.
Katie McKenna, go ahead.
Good morning. I'm Katie McKenna of District 33. I'm the sophomore class president at Juno Douglas High School, where I do track, cross-country running, and Nordic skiing. When I'm not studying or testifying, I'm probably selling raffle tickets or at a bake sale. Thank you for representing all Alaskans, and thank you for listening to testimony about education from students. We are the people that live with your decisions, and we are also our state's future. I'm here to tell you that maintaining the base student allocation is essential, even if only to sustain continued poverty in our system. I am from a district that has cut $11 million in the last 7 years. In the current budget cycle, we are being asked to cut another $3 million. All of these cuts, even with a fully funded BSA, are seriously hurting all students. Please maintain the status quo just as a place from which we can signal for survival. We are being asked to cut nurses, librarians, Tlingit language teachers, and to continually increase the sizes of classes. This is at a time when more and more students are showing up with all kinds of stresses. Over the last 7 years, the deepest cuts have been as follows. The Juno School District has cut over $1.5 million in classroom teachers, over $1.2 million in special education teachers who care for our most vulnerable friends, and over $700,000 for information technology. Is this what we want for 21st century learning in Alaska? You are the only ones who can decide. My mother was a revered Juno teacher who passed away in 2011, and my father is a Juno principal. Trust me, we know how to do more with less. Still, these opinions are all mine as a student. I have no idea what my daily life would look like if you don't fund the base student allocation enough. What I do know is that class sizes in my school are increasing, choices are decreasing, and teachers run the edge of burnout all the time. At a minimum, I urge you not to let it get worse. We need stable and predictable funding. My friends and I want to dream about the future. We want to be able to compete in a global community, and we want to return to a state where we have felt supported and where we're inspired to invest our talents. Where do you want us to be? How do you want us to succeed? Please start with a stable enough platform, a base student allocation, which might not even compete against inflation, but which at least doesn't make things worse. I hope you will give my generation a more optimistic start, and I guess I have to start here. On behalf of my fellow students, thank you. We hope to return.
Thank you very much, Katie.
Thank you.
All right, next up I have Sienna Hanna and Andy Story, followed by Olivia Carroll. Good morning. Put your name on the record and your affiliation and proceed.
Hello. My name is Sienna Hanna. I am Thunder Mountain's Associated Student Body School Board Representative, and a senior at Thunder Mountain High School. Some of the things that I've witnessed in early years...
A little closer to the microphone, please, okay. Sienna. Thank you.
Thank you. Our class sizes are getting bigger. I know that I probably couldn't name, like, half of the people in any of my classes, and in classes like AP Lit or, like, AP Stats, teacher support is even more important than, and is very important for such difficult classes. And whenever we're taking a quiz in our stats class, there's always like a line up to the teacher's desk just asking for quick clarifications, but it takes forever to go through the line, and it takes away from the time to take the quiz, and it's really difficult for instruction. And this has caused people to like rely on fellow students even more, which is always a good thing. In a way that you can, you know that your classmates are with you and your peers are with you, but really, like, none of us are experts in statistics and none of us are qualified educators. And, like, the teacher is the one that can really provide the right kind of support that we need. The flat funding that our school district has received has not only impacted academics, but also extracurriculars. Our school district has had to cut like over $600,000 that was used to assist in paying for activities. And in my time at Thunder Mountain High School on the soccer team, I've seen like our fees rise from like $400 at the beginning to like this year they'll be like $750. And for students with lower incomes can receive support and like apply for like scholarships or sponsors, but really it's almost becoming like an equity issue. Like they can't be sure that they'll be able to be on the team, that they'll be able to pay for everything. And we fundraise as much as we can, but we can really never get as much as we need to. I'm a senior this year, so I'm planning on going off to college next year, but I have two siblings in the district, a younger brother in sixth grade and a younger sister in freshman year, and I want them to be able to get the education that they deserve, and I want to be able to return to Alaska as an adult and for my children to be able to get the education that they deserve. Thank you.
Thank you, Sienna. I'm disturbed to hear about the fees rising to $700. Can you explain what that fee is supposed to pay for?
It's mostly travel costs, mm-hmm. I believe. Not completely sure.
In relation to sports activities?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Thank you. I've been told that the TCLL is the Tlingit Culture and Language and Literacy. And I have about three more people on the list to testify, including two at the Anchorage LIO. If anyone else wishes to testify, you're more than welcome. We have another hour and 15 minutes on the schedule for this meeting. Okay, go ahead.
Thank you. My name is Andy Story, and I am a Juneau School Board member and testifying today on behalf of the board and our community. I think all of us know that in every state, one of the biggest investments to the budget is public education. It always will be one of the biggest commitments that we make to our children. It's a state-mandated issue to care for our kids. And we would say in Juneau, and I think it's true statewide, we really have two systems that our students are interacting in right now. One is our kids are doing pretty good. They're going off to colleges here and outside, everywhere from going to Stanford, Dartmouth, state colleges everywhere, and they're doing well. Then we have a system where kids are struggling. You could call it an instruction. We call it an instructional gap. There's an economic gap. There's a cultural relevance gap in school. There's an achievement gap, a lot of people call it. And I think what's really important is the Alaska Education Challenge, school boards, communities. We're all unified in wanting to correct these things and to have all of our students really succeeding. Consequences to the flat funding, we call them silent budget cuts. Education, people say, oh, education's not getting a cut. They are continuing to be funded, and we're very grateful for that commitment. But there are silent budget cuts that you don't see because things do increase, expenses do increase. I brought our reduction list since fiscal year 11. We have cut 92 positions. And it shows you the other investments we've had to decrease in. This year, and it's not on the list because our board and the public, the board will make the decision. We'll be hearing from the public a lot. And we did. We had two public hearings this last week. We had over 50 people at one and over 100 people at our second meeting because we are into cutting the bone into the heart, the muscle of what we do. There is nowhere. We have serious hardships about where to cut and lost opportunities. And I would have to say there's so many, what happens is we don't make as much progress as fast as we want to with these cuts. On our reductions list, you'll see we cut our middle school counselors from 2 to 1. Several years ago, one of our middle schools has 479 students. The other has 501. They have one counselor. In our high schools, we have 2 counselors for 578 at one school and 698 at the other. We have had Breeze laws passed about healthy relationships, the Alaska Safe Children's Act. We all know about, we're becoming much more informed about trauma and how that affects children and learning, and we're educating our teachers to be more aware of how that affects it. But our counselors are critical and they help. And certainly as a school board member, I want to thank counselors. People, how can you cut a counselor and have this? Those are really good questions to ask. What we have is we are an academic system too, and that's our primary thing, is to prepare kids to go out and take the jobs in Alaska. And so we have academics that we want to help, and certainly class size is important, but the quality of your instruction is really important too. And we are teaching to the higher standards. We have adopted higher standards the last couple of years, and now we're training teachers to do that, and they cannot create all these lessons. We have had instructional coaches to help them. We have 3 left. We used to have them at the secondary. We cut those because you want to protect, and we get most testifying on keeping classroom sizes with good relationships so you can interact. And so there's a lot of pressure to cut those. We went from an instructional coach at every elementary school to last year having to cut down to 3. This year it looks like we won't be able to keep our instructional coaches. And they provide, we're doing the next generation science standards now, money for science kits, the hands-on learning intervention. Anyway, I think what is just so important to realize is that education is a field that's dynamic. Hopefully you're not teaching the same way, we're not teaching the same way we were years ago, and we have to keep up with that, and we need the resources to do that. Also, I have found that I'm sensing a lack of confidence people feel in our public education system when they hear that we're always making cuts. We want to know that when you're from Alaska, we're investing in education, we're working hard together, and I think that's a message. I've noticed this year some positive things coming up of all the systems being aligned, and we want to keep that going. I think when you invest in our public education system, it's an investment that has immediate results and long-term results. The immediate is the students you see here now getting, you can see how they're coming out, just a great product that we're proud of, and we hope they're all going to come back and work here. But I think also what happens is when you support public education, the dollars from public education, 90% of our budget, 80% of others, goes to staffing. People live in our communities. There's the multiplier effect. That money is coming back into our system. Anyway, there's a lot I could say, very passionate about our children and doing right by them, and I know every one of us here is too. And so I just look forward to working together and supporting our children.
Thank you, Ms. Story. I appreciate your commitment to the students of Juneau. I know you've been serving for quite some time on the Juneau School Board. I have a question for you.
Sure.
Who is delivering the Breeze Law curriculum? Counselors or classroom teachers?
It's a combination, and we've really had to break down who's going to do what, and they've been really working hard on making sure we're trying to deliver it, but we are limited by lots of things that we're doing, and we wish we had more of staff dedicated to that, but we are trying to do the best we can with the resources we have.
It's working. The reporting of teen dating violence went from about 10% to about 5% over the last year or two. Mm-hmm. And I know the students that I've talked to are aware of what Breeze Law is. And today in the House floor, we're going to be passing the Breeze Law. That's House Bill 214, the name change that takes the Alaska Safe Children's Act and names the teen dating violence section Breeze Law after the young woman who was murdered by her boyfriend. And I think I have 24 co-sponsors, so I think it's going to pass. I think it's going to pass.
Could I offer up one more thought that I'm just looking at my notes? I guess the hardest thing for me as a school board member is, of course, you want to please everybody in the room when they come to public testify, and you want to know all the children that you serve in the district. And what's hardest is we have programs that children, it's making children who haven't succeeded succeed. And they don't have a lot of advocates for these programs. We as a school board member and as a leader, you have to make unpopular decisions for things that you think know are right for students to move. And so what's really hard is who wins, who loses whenever you make a budget decision. And we want to move all kids, and with funding not increasing, it's really hard. This is a really hard job, just as you have a really hard job for our state. It's all important. Thank you.
Representative Parrish has a question for you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And thank you, school board member Story. It was really good to see you and the other delegates from around the state yesterday talking about the issues before us. For Juneau in particular, I understand that a $100 BSA increment would only be a fraction of the deficit resulting from years of inflation and health care costs, amongst others. What would approximately, what fraction of the deficit would be addressed by a $100 increment?
Well, the $3 million we have to cut with the flat funding is about a 5% cut to our budget, and we would get about $1 million back with a $100 increase, and so it would need to be a $300 increase to keep doing what we're doing right now.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I have a question.
Representative Kopp, go ahead.
Thank you for your testimony. On a flat funded budget, do you think the deficit that you see increasing there, is that mostly driven by health care or declining enrollment or all of the above and more things? What's driving that?
Well, this year, definitely a decline in enrollment. Last year we had 100 students more in the district, and we were really surprised because of just the state of our economy. This year we had about 100 less, and so that is $1 million right there. The problem is students do not come in like egg carton sizes, a bunches of 12 or something, right. So we still have needs to supply. Even though it's 5 less teachers, we will have to hire next year. So health insurance costs, yes, those are a driver. I would think across the state it's a high driver. I couldn't say what percentage. I could get back to you on that if you'd like to know.
Yes, thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you, Representative Kopp. I call it the health insurance costs go up, the health insurance companies get paid, and teachers get cut. And I think we need to find a way to stop this. Thank you very much, Ms. Story. Let's see, I have Olivia Carroll next, then I have a couple of folks online from Anchorage, and anyone in the room who's still willing, would like to testify, please be prepared to come forward. We have plenty of time.
Should we still have a sign-up list?
Is the sign-up list outside? Okay, there is a new sign-up list outside, so if you signed up earlier and I haven't called your name, just go up and sign up again. Okay, Olivia, go ahead. Put your name on the record and proceed.
Good morning. My name is Olivia Carroll. I'm from the Cordova Junior Senior High School, representing the Cordova School District. Mm-hmm. I'm the president of my class, one of 7 members of the National Honor Society in my school, the student council rep to the city council, and I'm here to talk to you this morning about increasing investments in education. When students feel valued by something that takes so much of their time, education, they will not only further invest in it, but come back so their loved ones can feel valued by it. Recently, Cordova has, many of whom I have talked to, come back, has had many alumni and college graduates come back with their families because they feel valued by their school and the Alaska education system. I have heard from many people in Native villages this week who have said if there is an opportunity for security in the field of education, they will come back as principals, teachers, and administrators, but they see the reality. As of now, if funding stays flat, they will not feel valued and will not come back as educators and administrators. The reality, at least in my community, is if students feel valued by the education system, they will come back as working citizens of Alaska. If not, they won't. I firmly believe that further investments in education will bring more people to and back to Alaska. Thank you.
Thank you, Olivia. Any questions for the speaker? Thank you. I appreciate your tremendous participation in your community. I don't know how you have the time to do it. Thank you. I'm going to go now to the off-net. I have Jim Anderson in Anchorage and Mike Bronson also in Anchorage. Jim, can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Go ahead, sir. Put your name and affiliation on the record and proceed.
Yes. My name is Jim Anderson. I'm the Chief Financial Officer for Anchorage School District, and thank you for the time this morning. I'll be honest, it's tough to add to what our students have already said this morning, because at the end of the day, when we use words like streamline or reduction, the real impact is what you heard from the students. We spent the bulk of the first semester of the school year listening to teachers talk to school board members every 2 weeks on a Monday evening, and they've reiterated over and over that class sizes are getting larger. The amount of support they used to get for professional development or for rolling out new programs is either diminished or gone. And frankly, that support that we used to be able to provide to schools or to teachers or to students, those reductions have been made over the last 5 years. And starting next year, as Ms. Marcette mentioned, in order to reach a balanced budget, we came to the conclusion that we need to cut all mid-shift custodial efforts at middle school and high school, further reducing the supports that we can provide at the schools. And I think most everyone on this committee realizes that the bottom line of flat funding is that it's a budget cut. We have so many fixed costs that continue to go up, just like every homeowner. You can't not pay your utilities just because it went up and it doesn't meet your budget. You have to cut somewhere else. And we've cut in administration. We've cut in instruction support. We've cut in all of the support services across the board, all in the guise of streamlining operations. You mentioned earlier that you wanted us to address people transportation. We move about 20,000 students a day. We have a budget deficit in transportation of over $3 million, and we also fund that out of our general fund because we don't have an option of not getting our kids to school and not getting them home. This year, after we finished our reductions, which is about a little over 90 more personnel. Last year was about 122. We actually got to the point where we realized any additional cuts, even in the support services, were untenable. We strongly considered, but after community feedback, decided not to do it this year, charging for busing, increasing student activity fees, reducing programs like for gifted students. We were able to retain the elementary program for gifted students, but at middle school and high school, we have to refine the way we're providing the classes. Fortunately, we already have AP classes. We have IB. We have a school partnership with UAA that allows high school students to earn college credits. But it's frustrating. It's frustrating for the board members. It's frustrating for the administration because, you know, it's tough. Last year, we listened to a lot of supposed expert testimony, mostly on the Senate floor, where they talked about if we cut education by 10%, somehow magically we would end up with more teachers in the classroom because of all the facets in administration and support and instruction support, but quite honestly, we've cut every area across the board for the last 5 years, and leading into next year, we don't even have areas where we can look at reducing in the support world. And so the percentage of cuts that will be teacher salaries will only continue to increase with flat funding. Now, when we look at the $100 DSA increase, that's about $9.1 million total for Anchorage School District out of a $560 million budget. $1.7 million of that would be local. For us, it's kind of the timing of bills. It's the timing of budgets being passed, whether we have to pink slip teachers or not. This particular bill, the municipality locks in their tax rate in the April timeframe. You know, anything that gets passed after April at whatever level would certainly mean that we probably would not get the local funding attached to that. So just to give you an idea in terms of dollars, that would be closer to, you know, $7 million for us if it was at $100 million or at $100 BSA. We had a $13 million deficit this year. Little over $3 million of that was transportation. And really what we did was where 88% of our total budget goes to people. We can't change healthcare costs, apparently, not quickly. We can't change the fixed costs, rent, utilities, contracts, those kind of things. So whenever we look at flat funding, which is a budget cut, we're always looking at people. And in a time where the state is losing people and they're moving to the lower 48, it's really frustrating to know that we came up with a budget to meet our statutory requirement for a balanced budget, and at the end of the day, another 90 people will not have a job. And they have mortgages, they rent houses. All of these things impact the local economy as well as our schools. So I certainly support the increase of $100 BSA.
Thank you, Mr. Anderson. Representative Parrish has a question for you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And thank you, Chief Financial Officer Anderson, for your testimony. If you could put a percentage on it, what additional factor would you put on top of inflation? What percent increase in BSA per year would keep you whole? I'm not talking about an increase, but what would help you avoid cuts to the quality of education our students receive?
It would probably have taken about a $160 increase in BSA to prevent cuts. It would take significantly more to repair the damage of the cuts we've taken over the last 5 years in terms of class size, in terms of supports to teachers for implementing new programs. But purely to answer your question, somewhere between $150 to $170 would have allowed us to do business next year the same way we did it this year.
Follow-up.
I hope that answers your question, sir.
Go ahead, Representative Parrish, follow up.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So I'm hearing that even in the event of this, that this BSA increase goes through, students in your district will still experience a decrease in the quality of service that you're able to offer. Is that right? I mean, barring, yes?
That's a fair statement, and really the main reason is because we still have over a $3 million shortfall in transportation. If we didn't have that, then the $100 BSA increase would have allowed us to really provide very close to the same level of service that we provided this year.
And one last follow-up.
Go ahead, Representative Parrish.
Thanks, Madam Chair. You said that it would take significantly more to repair the damage done in recent years by flat funding. Can you give us a ballpark of how much more it would take to bring the level of quality for a kindergartner entering school today up to the level of quality that you're able to provide, or the same value of funding going towards those kindergartners How much of an increment would that be?
You know, it's tough to give a fixed dollar amount, and there's a lot of reasons. There was a study done in Anchorage School District quite a few years ago that talked about optimal education across every category. If you were to just meet the class sizes as recommended in that study, it would be $56 million. The reality is you don't have to be optimal at absolutely everything and still make progress. And so I think, unfortunately, as a money person, I'm probably the wrong individual to provide the analysis on alternate methods of instruction and professional development to answer it. I know according to the study, class size alone, $56 million. When we looked at everything across the study, we were $100 million short. But again, we're still providing new programs, although at a much smaller rate. I don't know that I think an educator would probably better be able to answer your question as to what would be optimal. I can only restate what the study said.
Okay. Have we received that study?
I don't think so.
Would you be able to send that study to the committee?
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Representative Parrish. Thank you very much, Mr. Anderson. Any more questions for Mr. Anderson? All right, thank you very much for your testimony today. Next, I have Mike Bronson, and in the room, David Kadzit. Kadzit followed by Dina Mitchell on the phone. Mike, put yourself on the record and proceed.
Hi, Representative Drummond, thanks. I'm Mike Bronson with the Anchorage branch of NAACP. We support House Bill 339's BSA increase. We think it's a step in the right direction of lowering the out-of-control class sizes that we've seen in Anchorage schools we've visited. And one example you might consider is at Central Middle School. There, the 7th grade math students come from all over the city, many places. Many of them are military kids. They move every couple of years, of course. Many of these kids, military and otherwise, come into their 7th grade math classes way behind in their math skills in general and the multiplication tables in particular. But the problem is the recent teacher layoffs in the school have raised the class sizes to levels that are almost unmanageable. And those layoffs have also resulted in the loss of opportunities those kids would have for extra math help outside the classroom. Things aren't any better. The trends aren't any better at high schools that these kids are going to graduate in within a couple of years. So the consequence is you can expect that many of the math students at Central Middle School will simply never catch up to grade level until they age out of the district. So in our mind, HB 339 makes an important step, statewide actually, that the NAACP has urged the legislators for several years now. We think the bill is necessary to help raise math and reading proficiency all across the state. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Mr. Bronson. Appreciate your testimony. Next, I have David Kadzit. Are you in the room? Come forward, sir. Good morning, sir. Good morning. Please put your name and affiliation on the record and proceed.
Just speak
right here.
Yeah. Yes.
You're going to have somebody who can write in Tlingit. Kinkisti yukhatu asak, shangu kebi na khatsiti, chikat kwan ayakhat, ok Tlingit yukhatangi kunokwasiku. My name is Kinkisti. I'm from the Chilkat, and I'm from a people who settled this earth here in Southeast Alaska long, long ago. My name is David Kadzit. I'm a parent. I have 7 children, numerous grandchildren who are attending the Jumil Douglas school system here in Juneau, beginning. I'm going to use my language, because when you look at your statistics on the wall, it's easy to alienate yourself from people. These things represent human beings, live human beings who have feelings, who are intelligent, who have talents, skills, and creativity. And the responsibility of a teacher is to open up that box of knowledge that every human being has, not just Tlingit people. Tlingit means human, being. But in Western worlds, we look at the human aspect more than we look at the being aspect of ourselves as a people. Just on Gasakuja where Stuart was too hot to Yewupi. That's a way Yatlatki claim, Ya Alaska Yedu wasaku ya Ayeha Wuti. Ya Wutu Watla, Uhan Shukunach. At was Kutunach away, Ya Wutu Watla, Yatlatk, Alaska Yedu wasaku ya. From time immemorial before the Great Flood, education has always been something that our people looked at and sacrificed all that they can for the sake of their children and their ability to settle this land that you know as Alaska successfully. And I say that successfully, because you can look down the street here and you'll see a big building. It's called the Sea Alaska Building. You may think that it was given by the government, but I'll share with you it's because of the knowledge of the elders that went before us that that is a symbol standing really tall. And right next to it is a building that is called Sobolov Building. And it's there because of the knowledge and the wisdom of the elders that went before us with respect to our language that we speak. And what has happened is that the language that we spoke was taken away, given up. And when that was taken away, there was a vacuum. The community, our community of education and helping each other to be successful in whatever we do, whether it was in fishing, trapping, hunting, whatever it may have been, in building a community, all the names of Southeast Alaska have Tlingit names. There's not hardly any, even Petersburg has a Tlingit name, and Wrangell has a Tlingit name. And people who don't know Skagway, Skagway is the name of Skagway. People who don't know the name of Haines, it's Deshut. These are names that our people taught our children so that they could be able to look at back and be able to see, just like somebody looking back at George Washington, Abraham Lincoln, and Thomas Jefferson, and Benjamin Franklin. We had those kind of people that we would talk about with our children. To have statistics is good. It's okay. I'm not finding fault with it. But if you begin to put faces on it, and I'll guarantee you it's not just going to be brown faces. It's not going to be just black faces. It's going to be all the color of the rainbow who are going to be affected. Our people sacrificed their finances and everything else for their children. When I walk into this building, I walk in here with pride. You know why? Because it was one of my relatives that was on the Constitutional Committee of the State of Alaska. His Last name's Paratrovich. Tlingit people. Heroes. We're not better than anybody, but I'm here to let you know that our educational system is just as powerful today as it was when it first began, and what's happening in the Juneau School District is outrageously phenomenal. You look at the young kids, both native and non-native, that are learning about the history and the community of this people. You're going to see a change in this community called Juneau, because they're developing a community through education. You go down to the Harborview School and take a look at all those kids that are out there singing and dancing before they start their education and say, oh, that's really primitive. That is way ahead of everything that other people are doing. You know why? Because we're building confidence in themselves to move, to dance, to sing, to smile, to make education fun. Statistics, they're good. But there ain't nothing like looking in the eye of a student who maybe has tears running down their face because they didn't know that the individual that is being talked about in their classroom, in the gymnasium, in a whatever you call it now, when you call everybody together, what, student rally? Assembly. When you see them and you see the teachers and the principals coming out and dancing. $100? $100. I don't mean to, I know it means a lot, but in the Tlingit culture, people, little elderly women and poor people come out and give $100 at a party. And everybody in that room will walk away with something more than $100. This is an investment. How much money has been invested by this state in other things that have never produced anything? There's not one of us that can sit here today and say, yeah, we've been totally successful. You have that opportunity with respect to what you're looking at. I applaud the $100. Pardon me if it sounded like I was putting it down. But I personally believe that investment will produce far greater renewable resource than the things that you give credit to other people who take things out of the earth and destroy the earth, and it's not renewable. Our human beings, your children, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren, your children that don't speak my language are just as valuable as those who speak a different language. And if we come together here, what will our grandchildren say? What will they say about us? Because you have an opportunity. Don't miss it. I'm here to encourage you, not to judge you. You're all special people. So I'm going to finish by doing what I should have done at the beginning. Ye ka hatu wuthli te. Ye ka hatu wuthli te. Ye ika tu wahin. Ye ika tu wahin. Anyatkosanea. Most precious, beloved children of the earth, thank you for the time that you've given to us to say words on what you're proposing. Most noble, very precious children of the earth, we believe in you, we trust in you, and we thank you for your vision and your courage. Ituyeyati. When I tell the kids that it's in you, you ought to see the kids jump up and down, man. They get all excited when I say, Ituyeyati at Wiskubu. Your knowledge is in you. This is not make pretend world. Knowledge is in every one of us, and courage is in every one of us, and wisdom is in every one of us, and caring is in every one of us. All we have to do is open that door. You're all special, and it's not by chance that I'm sitting here. My grandparents maybe prepared me for this moment, so they're here with me right now. Probably have tears running down their face. That's education, folks. More than just social studies. Thank you very much for giving me the time. I know I took a lot of time. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Conceive. Mr. Parrish.
Hey, Satini. I'm clean. Gunnish cheese.
You're welcome. Yeah, well.
Thank you. I have Dina Mitchell and Marnie Hartill on the off-net from Anchorage. Can you hear me, Dina?
Good morning, and I have to apologize. I'm calling from home, and my dog just started barking, so I'm going to try to find a place that is quiet. I am so sorry. It sounds like a wolf in the background. So can you hear me okay?
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay. My name is Dina Mitchell, Chairwoman Drummond, and esteemed members of the House Education Committee. Thank you so much for taking the time to hear from the community. And testimony from the Plinkett gentleman was so wonderful, just expressed, I think, what so many people feel. And when he talked about sacrifices that the Plinkett make for their children and for their education, I think, you know, we all realize that is not unique to the Plinkett. That's something that people have done over time, over cultures. Everybody wants a better world and a bright future for their children. You've heard from many people this morning about really important issues. The students have testified just very passionately. Mr. Anderson, the CFO of the Anchorage School District, spoke about the cuts that we have made here in Anchorage since 2013, and I believe he might even have provided you with a document that outlines some of those. What I would like to talk about is the equity issues in education. We have equity issues with our achievement gaps across various groups of students, and the Anchorage School District, as well as every district across the state, is working on addressing those achievement gaps, but it does take resources, and we all know in our hearts from our own educational experiences, as well as from our children and our neighbors' children, and it's just life experience, that the things that really make a difference for humans is connections, feeling valued, feeling like we matter, and those are the connections that, when we think back to our education, made a difference for us. My father was a sociologist, and he talked about what is in the nature of people and how those are the things that matter. Humans are tribal, and those connections are critical. And when we increase class sizes and stress our teachers out, we can't make those connections. So to address the achievement gap is going to take an investment. But I also want to talk about the achievement gaps over time. You heard from some students who were very sad that if they had been in school 5 or 6 years ago at the age they're at now, they would have had more opportunities, they would have had smaller class sizes. We need to make sure that every student who is in the schools gets the same opportunity as every other student. We don't want to have inequity over time. And I hear from many legislators that they may agree with that, but we just can't afford this right now. I'd like to go back to the permanent fund. When the permanent fund was created in 1976 under Governor Jay Hammond, it was designed to allow future generations to benefit from the immense wealth that was being created by the oil development, as you all know. It was not originally designed to be a source of a dividend to current residents. That was something that came later. It was designed to not only help us even out the ebbs and flows of income based on oil discovery, but also to preserve that wealth for our future generations. So when we say, as a state, we can't afford to invest the students that are before us right now, who need our help right now, who are growing up under our eyes right now, I respectfully disagree. We have savings in the permanent fund for just such a time. And the state also has the means to raise revenue in other ways. So I agree with the gentleman who spoke before me. I agree with everybody else who testified. We cannot afford to not invest in the students who are in our schools right now. There are kids who are falling through the cracks. We don't have graduation support counselors. The counselors we do have unbelievably large caseloads. You've heard all of this testimony over and over again. The students that we have who are at risk, the enormous number of adverse childhood experiences that many of our students have, we can make a difference to those students' lives now, and that will alter the course of our Alaskan history. It will create a brighter future for our state. So again, I strongly believe we cannot afford to not invest in these students. I believe we do have the means to do that, and I think the future of our state depends upon making sure that we provide for our seed corn in good times and in bad times. If we don't dig deep and support this group of students who is in our schools now, who rely on the adults in the room now, we will see the results in the years ahead as these students graduate or, in many cases, don't graduate. So I really appreciate HB 339. As Mr. Anderson said, it's not enough, but it certainly is a huge help, and we would be very happy to accept that increase in funding around the state. Every single district needs this. So thank you again for your time and your thoughtfulness in hearing testimony this morning.
Thank you, Dina. It's great to hear your voice. And I see you took care of the dog. I appreciate it.
Yes, I'm sorry about that. It was poor timing.
Thank you. Next, we have Marnie Hartill and two people from the Kenai Borough Peninsula School District in the room after Marnie. Marnie, can you hear us?
Yes, I can.
Go ahead, please. Put your name on the record and your affiliation and proceed.
Hello, my name is Marnie Hartill. I am calling speaking as an individual. I am also Vice President of Programs for Anchorage Education Association, an educator, former English teacher, as well as a secondary tech collaborator at Bartlett High School, Go Bears. I just want to thank Representative Drummond and Representative Parrish for allowing me time to speak. I'm sorry I haven't really prepared any notes or anything. I know that in these times I've seen while working at Clark Middle School and Bartlett High School, our urban schools really struggle, and the resources I started to see really begin to cut about 5 years ago when the social worker was cut from Clark Middle School, and then we lost counselors, and we, of course, lost teachers. But we lost a lot of resources that helped our students, especially with a very high suicide rate. We're dealing with a lot of families in the urban area where we don't have an active PTA or PTO, and that really hits home with equity. One might say, well, why doesn't our school have a robotics program, computer programming? Why don't we have some of these things that perhaps we have in other neighborhoods within Anchorage? We just don't have the sponsorship of a PTO or PTA to do that. A lot of our teachers rise above to provide the support for our students that when their parents are working double shifts, they just don't have the opportunity to be able to do that. I know from experience walking around garbage cans in the hallways with leaking roofs. Every spring we have classrooms that are evacuated where roofs are leaking over the classrooms. We have heat problems. We have difficulty with basic needs. We could give our hierarchy, Maslow's hierarchy of needs. We are there in the struggling area where we really need to have the funding to support our students. And Anchorage is not alone. I know the villages suffer a great deal from lack of funding, and the BSA increase would greatly
kind of level some of that pain and reduce some of those struggles. However, Anchorage is expected to provide for our children with caps on what we can contribute to school funding, and it hampers our ability to raise funds needed to meet our diverse population. My next issue and concern is our students with IEPs. According to IDEA law, we need to meet them according to their special education needs, their individual education program, their plan. And I know that recently our ELL students are being put in the same classes as IEP students, and these educational needs, they're unique, and they should not be clumped together, but they're literally purposely clumping our ELL students, English language learner students, with IEP students and trying to meet the same needs. And that is a gross negligence. So I'm calling for revenue where all Alaskans pay their fair share before they expect any entitlements such as the PFD. And I believe that the raising the BSA is a paramount concern, especially considering our constitutional obligation. I want to thank you again for your time, and I thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Marnie. Appreciate it. I have Debbie Carey and Sabrina Ferguson in the room. Please come forward. Put your names on the record and give us your testimony. Right. Welcome.
Thank you. My name is Sabrina Ferguson, and I graduate in 98 days, so I'm super excited about that. I'm a senior at Nanilchik School, and we are a pre through 12th grade school. When I started school at Nanilchik, we had 13 teachers. That was in preschool. We now have 7, and I am in 12th grade. My fourth grade class, we were split. We had split classes. We had a fifth, sixth grade, and a fourth, fifth grade. And the two teachers worked together to allow us to go to the Challenger Center and go to something called a mission to Mars. The sixth and fifth graders all got to go, but as fourth graders, we weren't quite allowed into the simulator quite yet. But we did all the work. We spent months. We acted like this was a real task we were doing. We figured out the cost it was going to cost us, what food we needed to bring. We even built our own astronaut suits, and I just touched that. Oops. And we got to sit in a room, and we got to learn about simple machines. We did not get to do the simulator. I am now a senior in high school, and I still haven't been to Mars. And as a senior, I'm a teacher's aide in a preschool room, and I will tell you it is the best opportunity I've ever taken in my entire life. And I'm going to tell you a quick story about my preschool room. I have a little boy in there, and he doesn't have a leg. He has a prosthetic leg, and he is very self-conscious about it, and one day he wore a pair of shorts to school. Another little boy looks at him and goes, "What's up with your leg?" And I'm sitting there preparing this kid to consult him because I'm prepared for tears. And he says, that's just how I was born. And the other little boy responds with, "Wow, you're like a superhero. Please give this little boy the education he needs to be that superhero." Thank you.
Thank you, Sabrina. I have a question for you.
Yes.
You gave us the number of teachers that mm-hmm. were in the Nanilchik school when you started at 13
yes.
and now 7. How many? Do you know how many students the Nanilchik school had when you started and how many you have today?
When I started,
we had about 200.
No, 180. I believe about 180. We now have
127.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay. Go ahead, Ms. Carey.
I'm Debbie Carey. I am the newest member for the Kenai Peninsula Rural School District School Board. But I want to speak to you about my experience in the education as far as Nanilchik School is concerned, because that's also where I'm from. This is actually my daughter. In 1990, when I first moved to Kenai Peninsula Rural School District, I had children in 6th and 9th grade. We had a wonderful education system. Our kids got to experience a lot of things. Today we're looking at the same scenario. We don't have a music program. We do have the core classes. We have quite a few online classes. Our school district has cut $7.7 million in the last 3 years. We try very hard not to cut into the classroom at this particular point. But that's not going to be the reality here in the near future. We're going to have to increase PTR, and we're going to have to cut more teachers. At Nanilchik School, we have a fourth, fifth, and sixth grade split classroom. That teacher teaches all three grade levels at one time. And if you look at the maturity level between a fourth grader and a sixth grader, it's a tremendous spread, to say the least. And it becomes really, really challenging to meet all the needs of every student. And I believe that that is what education is all about, is meeting the needs of every student in every classroom. So I'm going to speak in support of raising the BSA. I understand that the state of Alaska has a fiscal reality, but we only get one chance with kids. We don't get a do-over. We can't say, oh, gee, you missed out on your mission to Mars. Let's send you back to the fourth grade so you can go to do that. We only get the one chance. So please give them the chance that they need, fund their education. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Appreciate your testimony today. I see no further folks online or in the room. Is there anyone left in the room who would like to testify? We still have a few minutes. Please come forward.
Good morning.
Good morning.
My name is Barbara Kediente Nelson. My Tlingit names are Ashkuk Eh and Yanis Uk. I'm of the Brown Bear Clan of Angun Kwan, and I carry the name of Yanis Uk from a former elder that spoke here today, David Katsik, who honored me with a Shungu KD name. I've also asked my good friend Marlene Corpus, who is a mother and now a grandmother of children who have gone through the Juneau School District, to sit with me. She doesn't wish to testify, but she's here nonetheless to show her face. An elder by the name of Cyril George once said that sometimes you don't have to say anything. It's important that you just show up and you show your face. And that's our intent here, in support of the vision that you have, in support of the bill that you're pushing uphill to support you, that you would have the knowledge that we're standing behind you and with you and championing you on. I am a member of good standing of the Alaska Native Sisterhood Camp 2. I'm a council member of the Douglas Indian Association, a federally recognized tribe. I'm a director of Sea Alaska Corporation, a trustee of Sea Alaska Heritage Institute, and I'm a district administrator for Juneau School District, and I'm the parent of four children who graduated from Juneau Douglas High School, and also three grandchildren who graduated from this institution, as well as grandchildren that are moving through the school now. In my current capacity as an administrator for the Juneau School District, I have the oversight of nine individuals who are cultural specialists. They are paraeducators classified. They bring to the school district a level of knowledge, of cultural knowledge and other skills to engage our students and to inform them of their identity and to work with our teachers in helping their curriculum be culturally relevant so that it will affect an institution that is desirable for teaching. You've heard testimony today and before this about the historical trauma that the Tlingit, Haida, Tsimshian, and other Native peoples of this land have experienced in this institution. My mother, Irene Kediente, was one of those who was schooled in a mission school in Skagway, and she was punished for speaking her heritage language, Tlingit. My father left his homeland, the Philippines, as a young man because he wanted his family, his children, to be afforded the dreams and the realization of those here in America. So I'm Tlingit and Filipino, otherwise known as Indipino. But I bring that up for this purpose, that my parents raised nine children on Star Hill, right behind this building, and probably the toughest times. It seems like these years are still tough, but in the toughest times, they sacrificed so that we could have a good education, and they sent us to a parochial school, St. Anne's Parochial School, for that education. It wasn't free, and I'm sure the community and the Diocese of Juneau helped to support our education, because I don't know how my parents clothed and fed and educated us off their humble salary. But they did. They sacrificed. They sacrificed their food out of their own mouth, clothes and shoes. They did that for all of us. And so it would be, I'd be remiss not to stand up to say that and to remind all of us, not just you honorable people here, but all of us, that sacrifice is indeed called for. And I don't say that lightly. When I called off the other entities that I represent and our families, there are some 2,000 Native children in the school district, but a total of 5,000 all students. Those are the voices that I represent. Those are the future that we're impacting to value diversity, to value culture. And the new teachers and other teachers that have come to the state to further their careers can't do it alone. And for once in a long time, our school district no longer sees it as an achievement gap when our children aren't succeeding. They see it as an instructional gap. And that instructional gap can only be filled by qualified people who understand the culture and the knowledge of this place. And so our teachers can't do it alone. And we have come through the number, and I'm one of them that graduated from the PETAS program. I was the first graduate entering my master's in teaching. And I taught for 2.5, 3 years at Juno Douglas High School. And the first year of my teaching, I received a pink slip. The second year, I received a pink slip. And in that institution at that time, there was a hierarchy of privilege, not only of status in terms of credentials, but also of color. And it was a painful time. And so when I received my first pink slip, it was very embarrassing and very hurtful. But I persevered because I had children moving through the school system. And I persevered the second year. But when that third year came around, it was a bit much. That pink slip experience was also one that my daughter, Asia, shared. She was hired as a Tlingit language teacher at the new high school here in Juneau, Thunder Mountain High School. She received a pink slip after her first year of teaching Tlingit. And what I want to share with you about her experience is that she was a new teacher teaching a foreign language, but her room became the central point for Native and non-Native students to come and be engaged with a teacher who cared. So they not only were learning Tlingit, but they were learning about who they are. I want to use the words of the late Walter Sobolov, who shared with me and others of my staff, who said at the outcome of the first Litsine youth camp that I implemented, he said, "You know what you've done here? You know what you have accomplished? When our children know who they are, they don't kill themselves." So that is the motivation. That's the integrity by which we come to bear on our work in the school district and in this community. And the entities that I represent do their part. We're all doing our part with less, and we're expected to do more with less. It's been said that the greatness of a people can be measured by how they revere their children. I spoke to my father and my mother and many others who've sacrificed much, as Elder David Katzik spoke of. It's also been said by a Tlingit elder that to the children, that we lift you high above ourselves because we cherish you. And I know that's why you're here, and that's why you chose to lead and represent the people of this great state. And so I wanted also to see you and have you see my face and say that when you go to push this rock uphill, that we're behind you and that we support you, and that these are our children that our arms are wrapped around. On a very real level, the staff that I supervise will be impacted by further cuts, and the cuts are great. 4 staff members will lose their positions, and collectively they have direct contact with 562 students, and another 2 with 62 students in the Tlingit Culture and Language and Literacy program that Elder Paul Mark spoke of earlier. Who can do their work? This Native community has put a lot of work into cultivating their knowledge to bring it to bear upon the students and the community here, the who will do their work. This district, as I mentioned, is now positioned to go deeper into really affecting change in education, and I believe we're a model district for that. We have an equity standard that we're learning to make actionable, and that equity standard encompasses the cultural standards and the curriculum. So watch us. Watch us do more with less, but I feel really challenged at this point that we're going to lose people. As David Katzik said, these numbers represent. So with that, I thank you too for your time, and I wish all of us the best in putting our arms around our children. Gunesh Cheesh.
Thank you. Really appreciate your stepping forward this morning.
Gunesh Cheesh.
I have no more names on my list, either here or in Anchorage. Anyone else wish to speak? Seeing none, I am going to close this hearing, close this testimony today, and really appreciate everyone's annual report to the legislature. And with that, we are adjourned at 9:47 a.m.